Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 21st of September, 2021, Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. I am Derek Hunter. This is, like I said, the Derek Hunter Podcast. Welcome to it. Action-packed, as always. We'll get to it as quickly as humanly possible, or as good as I can do, my impersonation of a human being. Don't forget about the Curse program at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. I can already tell it's going to be a doozy. It's already going to be a good one this week, damn it. Unlike all those other ones where I just go soft. No, it's fun every week. Patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. And don't forget, if you think I'm full of it, or if you're full of it, go to getthetea.com. That's where you get Life Change Tea. That's right. It will change your life. Keep you regular, clean you out, fill you full of the nutrition, vitamins that you want. The wonderful, wonderful vitamins and minerals that in the food that you digest. It just, you don't get to it all. Your body just leaves it all in there because your body's coated on the inside with waste. That's where Life Change Tea comes in, squeegees your innards, and you suddenly have more energy because you're clean of that stuff and now able to digest, absorb more of the nutrition from the food you eat. Go to getthetea.com, enter promo code Derek at checkout to get free fast shipping on top of everything else, the great deals and all that they have there. Getthetea.com, promo code Derek, and click apply too, because that helps. All right, now let's start the show. There's a lot going on in the world, lots of ground to cover, tons of things to talk about, and we've got some amazing audio of the mayor of San Francisco, who's caught red-handed, violating her own COVID rules, don't wear it inside, you can't wear a mask, what are you doing, what's wrong with you, blah, 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 and vaccinate or not, wear a mask, laminate yourself, whatever, and now the mayor's caught in it, and she goes, well, you know, I was having fun, and I'm vaccinated anyway, so what does it matter? What does it matter? So we'll get to all of that. We've got adventures in Joe Biden land. Good Lord. He's out riding bicycles and eating ice cream while the world is falling apart. The country is facing problem upon problem upon problem, and Joe can't be bothered. Joe can't be bothered. He's Chauncey Gardner from the Being There movie. If you don't know what that is, it's a Peter Sellers movie, and it's about an idiot gardener who everybody just sort of projects on him. He's just there. He's kind of like the Forrest Gump of a much smaller world in Being There. But I just want to comment a little bit on this Gabby Petito, I think is how you pronounce her name. The 22-year-old girl who looks like was murdered. They found a body it doesn't even matter. I don't want to comment on the case because, to be honest with you, the case is in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. The case is an indication of what I always say, and I haven't had an opportunity or a need to say this in a while, but I've said it for a very long time. So those of you who've been listening to the show for a while will have heard this before. But it is another indication of the media flowchart, food pyramid, whatever you want to call it, the hierarchy of victimhood. It is, because you think, oh my goodness, if any time a black man is killed or dies at the hands of police or dies even in the vicinity of police, that's the media's obsessive story. And it is. It absolutely is. But there is one thing that is way more exciting for these people in the media than that. And that is the missing cute white girl. Now, you can think back to every story. When I just remember Greta Van Susteren when she was at Fox. Her job seemed to be wholly dependent upon attractive white girls disappearing every once in a while. And she would be dispatched to, oh, we're doing a month of shows from Aruba or wherever it was. And I'm not trying to belittle these losses for the families. They're terrible. But in the grand scheme of things, aside from just sort of keeping you numb, keeping you distracted, keeping you whatever, how is your life impacted by what happened to Gabby Petito in any way, shape, or form? It's a human interest story, sure. But something like 48 people were shot in the weekend, over the weekend in Chicago. Have you heard anything about them? No. Again, horrible story. Feel awful for the family. And as a parent of two girls, thank God they're too young to be around sort of these weirdo boyfriends. But, you know, there's that sort of angle to it, too. But what does it matter? What does this change? What does it mean? Which has more impact on your life? This girl's tragedy, this family's private tragedy, or the 12,000 people currently living under a bridge down in Texas that are sneaking into the country, that are just walking in, that the Biden administration is doing next, finally now sort of putting them on flights to go back home, but they're not really doing all that much. Which one has a bigger impact on your life? One you heard an awful lot about, and one you'll hear an awful lot about, and one will right on through the trial of this guy whose last name is Laundry, whatever the hell it is. You will hear through the whole trial, provided he doesn't plead guilty or kill himself whenever he's out in some woods or something right now, hiding apparently, or they think he is. The other one will have a ripple effect in this country for decades, generations to come. Democrats are trying to give citizenship to all of these people. That's part of the reason why all of a sudden there's this big crush, another crush, of illegal immigrants coming across the southern border. Not by accident. It's not haphazard that they're mostly Haitians. Doesn't seem to bother anybody. Haiti is an island. To get to our southern border from Haiti takes a bit of effort, takes a bit of money. If you can afford to fly to, I don't know, somewhere in Mexico, you could probably afford to fly to somewhere in the United States, but they recognize that they wouldn't get in through a normal port of entry. They, if they hopped off of an airplane, said, oh, I'm just trying to vacation here, and probably wouldn't fly with customs, and they'd be turned around. But if you march across the southern border, you're in. You're in like Flynn, man. It's game on. Welcome to the United States. Here's your voter registration card. Don't fill it out just yet, but have it ready. Have it ready. That has a much, much larger impact on your life than the tragedy that the Petito family is suffering. You want to mention that? Okay, fine. But you want to stop all the presses and ignore one at the because of the other, and suddenly you start to have a problem. Suddenly you start to see where media bias comes in, because that food pyramid is literally the cute white girl gone missing. Doesn't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter the end result. As long as she's if she's killed, then they'll pay attention to that. That'll be the top thing through the trial, through the entire trial, maybe even the appeals process, up until either the movie of the week or the miniseries is produced. Below that is the black person, usually a black man, dying at the hands of police. Neither happen with any regularity, but all are portrayed as though they happen all the time, and you or someone you know is probably next. But the media will, if George Floyd had died last week instead of last year, and Gabby disappeared, the media would be hard-pressed to continue to cover the George Floyd situation. They can't bring themselves to work that way. They can't multitask, and so they have to throw all of their energy into one thing, and the cute white girl gone missing is the top priority of these leftists, because that's ratings. That's ratings gold. You can scare the hell out of people. Underneath that is just about everything else. That's the food pyramid. It's about a three-pronged food pyramid. I admit it. It's not a very detailed food pyramid. But honestly, what else does the left care? What does the leftist media care about? Anything else? I guess you could maybe sandwich in there some sort of only in the last year, some sort of extremism. As long as it's not BLM Antifa, as long as it's something that is painted or portrayed as right-wing extremism, then extremism is there and then it's everything else. But if you remember back to the Kermit Gosnell situation, what were you looking at? Hundreds of murders. The most prolific serial killer in history, but he was an abortion doctor and he was killing babies that, the abortions went wrong. They went sideways. And so they didn't want to cover it. They eventually had to. They were forced to. But famously, the Washington Post reporter, whose beat it normally would have been, was asked about, why aren't you covering this story? You cover everything else under the sun. And you go crazy. Well, that's a local crime story, what they said. I'm like, really? A local crime? The most prolific serial killer in history. And it's a local crime story, and you got no compunction, no problem with that, nothing, huh? That's weird. So that is what you're dealing with. They eventually had to cover it, but barely. They barely covered it. And they largely downplayed the fact that he was an abortion doctor and that these were murders committed in the acts of botched abortions and that the women who came in seeking abortions were dying too, because they don't like to admit that that ever happens either. It's all just abortions are great and we should pay for them all. But other than that, they didn't want to cover that story. They don't cover so much. Like I said, let me pull up the actual numbers here in Chicago, because every week there's a friend of mine who sends me these numbers from Chicago just out of disbelief. Yeah, 48 shot, 9 fatally in a weekend of violence over in Chicago. 5 killed in a span of 4 hours. Yeah. You hear about that today? No, you didn't. Unless you lived in Chicago, you won't hear about it because they don't care. It's, again, not trying to belittle the situation with this missing 22-year-old girl, but can we be honest about the priorities and what constitutes news in this world? Couldn't we? Shouldn't we? Isn't that what we should be doing? You can't say, well, we couldn't get to this very important issue because we only have 22 minutes a day to cover news if you spend 15 of those minutes camped out on the front lawn of somebody's house down in Florida because their degenerate son may well have killed his fiance. How many other people? You want to talk about racism? I know that there are a lot of Democrats listening. I know there are a lot of Democrats who love racism. Boy, howdy, we're going to get into the Emmys in a little bit, and the left loves race. When's the last time you heard of a missing black girl that wasn't in your town, in a major city in your state? When was the last time you heard a news person talk about it, see someone dispatched to find out what happened to missing whoever it is? Never, probably. You might have one. But I doubt you have one. But you might. You never hear about it because it doesn't rate. Democrats, progressives, reporters are the biggest racists you will ever meet in your entire life. That's just how it is. That's the fact. I don't make the facts up. I just report them. I just repeat them. But let's be honest about this. There are black girls that go missing all the time. There are white girls that go missing all the time. In a nation of 330 million people, it is bound to happen. It is sad that we have, even if 1% of the population is a degenerate sociopathic murderer, that means that there are 3 million degenerate sociopathic murderers out there. The number is half that. You're looking at 1.5 million, and so on and so forth. So even if it's a fraction of 1% of degenerate sociopathic murderers, there's still a lot of them in a nation of 330 million people. It's going to happen rather a lot, sadly. But only certain kinds get coverage. I do not remember a nationwide manhunt for the killer of a black woman, or for the abductor of a black woman, or for the last person to have seen a black woman alive. I don't remember Greta Van Susteren being dispatched. I don't remember MSNBC devoting airtime to. I don't remember any of it. Maybe it has happened, but I can't remember any of it because they don't care about that. The people most obsessed with race are generally the racists. It's kind of a good rule of thumb. If somebody is obsessed with something and accusing other people of being something, they're usually that thing themselves, more often than not. You definitely don't want to have your kids babysat by those people. Just saying. I suppose you could also shoehorn into my food pyramid of liberal media fear. COVID's got to be in there, but it's just fear in general. I love how they go, they try and instill fear in everybody, and then they go, why are we so afraid of each other? Why don't we get along? Well, because you spend 90% of your time trying to scare the hell out of everybody because you know that means ratings. Maybe. Chris Rock, comedian Chris, COVID was the biggest thing that they absolutely love fear-wise. Chris Rock has a funny dude, but he has COVID, right? Not mocking him. And he made a tweet the other day that really got everybody like, oh, he's so brave. He's so wonderful. It's so this, it's so that, it's so the other thing. And you're like, why is everybody celebrating Chris Rock? Well, because he's brave. He's come out. He tweeted yesterday, quote, hey guys, I just found out I have COVID. Trust me, you don't want this. Get vaccinated. Okay. I don't think nobody should want COVID. Nobody, you know, you'd be dumb if you want COVID. Like, please give me COVID. You're pretty dumb. But there's not anything else to that tweet except for, hey guys, I found out I have COVID. Trust me, you don't want this. Get vaccinated. Okay. Well, Chris Rock is vaccinated. Back in May, he got vaccinated, apparently, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So, is Chris Rock saying, trust me, you don't want this based on what? What is he saying, trust me, you don't want this based on? Just a spidey sense tingling that you don't want this? Or is he experiencing, well, they say, breakthrough symptoms? Doesn't seem to matter. They've been asked, and they've asked Chris Rock's people, various news outlets have. Nobody's given them a response. But the story is Chris Rock has COVID. Get vaccinated. Look out. They barely mention that Chris Rock is vaccinated. Certainly not in the headline. It's not fully vaccinated Chris Rock does this. Because why? Because then they can't really scare the hell out of people. Well, if you're going to get the COVID anyway, why'd I waste my time getting vaccinated? What would be the point of that? That would be a rational thought that a lot of people have. Now, by hiding that fact, they're actually going to do more damage than good for their cause, which again shows how stupid they are and how bad at messaging they are and how little they understand human beings. They sit there and they say, well, don't say anything about Chris Rock being fully vaccinated. Just say Chris Rock's got COVID and he urges you to get vaccinated because you don't want this thing. Because if Chris Rock is vaccinated, actually, if Chris Rock were vaccinated, which he is, and he just tested positive for COVID, but he's sitting at home going, I feel fine. That would be a great, great message to help push people getting vaccinated, right? Wouldn't you think? Hey, I've got COVID. I barely knew it. Somebody shoved a Q-tip up my nose just as a joke, and it came back positive for COVID. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known it. No symptoms here, thanks to the vaccine. That would be a great, great public service announcement if you were at all interested in getting more people vaccinated. I don't know what Chris Rock is feeling. Nobody knows what Chris Rock is feeling except for people close to Chris Rock. But the absence of information has caused a whole bunch of people with a bunch of crackpot ideas to fill that void. And there are plenty of crackpot ideas to go around everywhere. It's life has turned into a smorgasbord of crackpot ideas, and the bar is open. And so anybody can walk up there and pick exactly what they want to hear out of it. And the media will dutifully report according to their narrative, which isn't always in accordance with reality, especially when there's an absence of information, as in the case with Chris Rock. They just will fill that void. Chris Rock today suffering from COVID, urging others not to be like him and get vaccinated. What? He's vaccinated. What are you talking about? Warning others. About what? What is he feeling? They don't know. They will fill that time. They will fill that void. Eventually, we'll find out. Some side will be wildly wrong, and the other side might be mildly right. Neither side will admit it. Actually, there are probably about 700 different sides on something like this. Nobody will admit it. Everybody will have filled up their own minds with whatever they want it to be. It's not something new. It's not Chris Rock's fault. It's actually the media's fault. It's the so-called experts' fault. It's President Fauci's fault. They all simply declare something to be, and then the evidence comes out to the contrary, and they declare something else to be with no concern over what they'd previously declared. That has consequences. But the biggest consequence is the only one the media cares about. It scares the hell out of people, causes them to tune in, causes them to read, causes them to click. That's all they give a damn about. There's no way to run a country. It's no way to run a business. It's no way to run your life. But it works, damn it. It works. Now, the reason I want to bring up all this fear and everything is because they aren't done with fear. They are not done with fear. It is today Pfizer announced that they're going for the kids. They're going for kids. They are seeking approval for kids 5 to 12 years, because right now 5 to 11, I guess. They're now submitting to the FDA, or will be very soon. CNBC has the news. A smaller dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is safe and generates a robust immune response in a clinical trial of kids 5 to 11. The drug maker announced Monday. The news couldn't come any sooner for parents anxious to get their kids vaccinated as kids start the new school year with the Delta variant surging across America. Now, you want to talk about some bias right there. This was written by a guy called, oh, that's a name, Berkeley Lovelace Jr. Apparently, it's a real name for a real human being. A guy named Berkeley Lovelace Jr., writing over at CNBC, decides to insert in. Parents are very relieved. I bet there are some parents, but the way that they speak in absolutes kind of tells you something, doesn't it, about the left? Parents are very, very relieved. They are, this news couldn't come any sooner for parents. Well, I'm a parent. I kind of want a little bit more data than 6 months worth of data before I inject anything into my children. Thankfully, my children are not of the age group to qualify in this, to fit in here. They're not old enough, so I don't have to deal with this right now. But I know a lot of parents. I have a friend who has a daughter who's 12, and they got her the shot. They thought about it. They wrestled with it. She's in school. So they got her the shot, but they got her only one shot. And she didn't have any reaction to it. They're not getting her the second dose because kids don't need it. It's debatable whether or not adults need it, to be honest with you. But whatever, doesn't seem to do that much harm. But you got to love it if the news couldn't come any sooner for parents anxious. Oh, yeah. Well, what about the parents who are not anxious? What about the parents who are not looking forward to what will be a protracted, nasty battle with school boards and everything saying, no, no, if your kid wants to go to kindergarten, you must get them the shot. Okay, how about you just get a little bit more data? No, no, you're anti-vax, you're a monster. Like, no. However, I don't even know how many shots you have to get your kids before they're 2 years old. It's a lot of them. You go to the doctor every 3 to 6 months and they're like, here's another shot, here's another vaccine. We did it all. We did it all. You know why we did it all? It's not because we're just like, well, we want to be a part of a large clinical trial. We did it all because we recognize that these vaccines work. There's a pretty long track record, longer than as long as my wife and I have been alive, or more. So it's a little bit different than something where you're like, well, it's this thing, we've tried it for 6 months, and things are going well so far, so let's start shooting this into the arms of kids. No, again, I'm going to want to see more data. I'm going to want to see your work. Now, there's no guarantee that the FDA will approve this, but given how this FDA has been politicized, I wouldn't be surprised, because you got to admire the way, the consistency. Democrats are nothing if not consistent. Consistently hypocritical, but consistent in that hypocrisy. What do they do? What do they spent all this time warning about Donald Trump is a tyrant. Donald Trump is and what are they doing? They're doing all the things a tyrant would do. Donald Trump never did the things a tyrant would do, despite all of their claims and all their protestations. And, oh, he's got an assault on the First Amendment. What did he do? Did he have some reporters arrested? Did he have them murdered? No. Didn't you see his latest tweet? He retweeted something negative about journalists. Oh, okay. Well, that's it? But how much more does he need to do? Meanwhile, Barack Obama had literally spied on journalists. And they thought nothing of it. No big deal. No big shake. He's a tyrant. He wants to take over the country. By the way, he wants to mount a coup. Well, he's sitting president at the time. It'd be kind of difficult to mount a coup against yourself. But okay, maybe you're not super good on the definition of words. That's up to you. But it was General Mark Milley, hero to the left, who was the one who did an end run around civilian control in the chain of command, not Donald Trump. They were all paranoid. Donald Trump might do something awful. Yet Donald Trump never tried to do anything awful. Donald Trump said some things publicly that made liberals clutch their pearls. Oh, my goodness, can you believe he said that? This could be dangerous. He never did anything about it. Did he? He didn't arrest anybody. He didn't order anybody to do anything. He didn't say, all right, batten down the hatches, we ain't going. No, he didn't do any of that. It's weird how these leftists project all of these things onto Republicans and do them themselves. Remember all the talk about the norms? Oh, you're upsetting the norms. We've got norms and traditions in this country. Yeah, we do. Why is it that the Democrats in the Senate are being advised by Democrats in the media to ignore the norms and traditions of, say, the Senate parliamentarian who ruled against Democrats over the weekend that they cannot insert mass amnesty for 12 million people in their reconciliation bill, that it's not really germane to a budgetary issue, making sure that you get really closer to 20 million new Democrats registered to vote. That's not really relevant to the budget. And what are Democrats saying? Not like, we tried. No, they're saying ignore the Senate parliamentarian. They're saying break the filibuster. Don't, let's just get rid of the filibuster. We must upset the norms in pursuit of maintaining the norms. The other side has violated all of these norms. How? What did the Republicans do? What did the Trump administration do that was so outside of the ordinary? I know what they were accused of doing, but what did they actually do? The guy was impeached twice. You'd think he would have done something that was so far beyond the pale that you'd sit there and you go, well, all right, I could see. Well, yeah, okay. He tweeted things that made liberals uncomfortable. But considering that Twitter hasn't been around all that long, I guess Twitter existed sort of during the Bush administration and definitely during the Obama administration. So you had one and a half administrations to establish norms on Twitter, that Donald Trump violated the norms on social media. Is that really an impeachable offense? Is that a, my goodness, what has this country become offense? I don't even recognize this country anymore offense. No, it's not. I would say having the Justice Department investigate the previous administration. I would say having the Attorney General of the state of New York investigate the previous administration's private businesses from before they were in office to see whether or not they'd broken any laws. Not that there were any laws alleged to have broken. Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, is not seeking to find out who it was at the Trump administration that broke the law. She's out there trying to figure out whether or not anybody at the Trump organization broke the law. It's way different. Most criminal investigations are launched when there's a crime alleged, not when there's a crime hoped for. The best they could do, after how many millions of dollars and how many man hours looking, the best that they could do was get a high-ranking Trump organization official on fudging his taxes. Yeah, fudging his taxes. He got a company car and didn't declare it or whatever. I don't even know. It was so insignificant as to be laughable. What's sad is they are trying to throw the book at him for that in the hopes of getting him to flip. Getting him to flip on Donald Trump. That guy may spend a significant amount of time in jail because he doesn't flip. He didn't flip. But what if there's nothing to flip on? What if there's nothing to rat out? And they're saying, we're going to give you the full 10 years for this. Tax evasion. You monster. Well, Timothy Geithner cheated on his taxes. Remember Timothy Geithner? He was the former Treasury Secretary under Barack Obama. He cheated on his taxes. What did he do when he was discovered? Did the FBI raid his house? Was he frog marsh? No. It was during his confirmation process. Said, oh, I owe a bunch of money. Still, he's a rich guy, of course. You found a discrepancy. All right, well, here's a check for the difference. We'll call it a day. And when asked about it, he said, well, TurboTax screwed up. What are you going to do? TurboTax. I entered the information. That's what TurboTax told me to do. Timothy Geithner's lucky he didn't work for the Trump organization. He'd still be in solitary confinement awaiting trial, if that were the case. All of this is how the left operates, ladies and gentlemen. This is what they do. This is who they are as people, if you can call them that. It's rather disturbing. And if you don't find it disturbing, you're not particularly paying attention, I don't think. Because it's wildly dangerous to have a system of justice and standards of justice that are wildly different for people based on anything, based on the color of their skin, based on their gender, based on their thought process, based on their political beliefs, whatever it is. That's what Democrats have set up. This is what exists in America today. It's not what they're trying to set up. It's not what they're trying to get going. It's what exists in America today. That can't last very long. You've been warned. I want to talk for a second about how we have gotten soft as a society. We really have. We're ready to be afraid. We're ready to be, we want to be feared. If you remove so much of your life, if you remove anything from your life, well, it's beyond my control. What am I supposed to do? Then it's something you don't have to deal with. You just go, well, what are you going to do? And it's really easy to just sit there and go, well, we can't really do anything. Can't really do much about that. Nothing we can do. Nothing can be. No, there's a lot that can be done about everything if you're willing to do it. You just have to be willing to do it. And particularly about your own life. But it's much easier just to go, meh, what are you going to do? They need this. They want this. It's usually government that wants to impose things. It's usually liberal government that wants to impose things, that wants to absolve you of responsibility. Don't worry. We'll absolve you of the responsibility. Just cede us some of your liberty. It's a hell of a seductive way to go about life. All you got to, you will not be responsible for your own failings. You will not be responsible for it. Of course, along with that, you're not responsible for your own failings. So if you fail, don't worry, we'll take care of you. It sounds great. Well, this is awesome. But the flip side of that they never mention is, and oh, by the way, if you do succeed, we're going to really go after you. Because you're not, it's Barack Obama's. You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. I know the leftists out there are going, well, he was talking about the roads and the bridges. Yeah, okay. You didn't build those roads and bridges. People, yeah, you're right. We didn't build those roads and bridges. Successful businessmen and women, risk takers, didn't build the roads and bridges. But I'll tell you one thing, which is, makes Barack Obama's argument at the time so incredibly stupid. Because the right, of course, bastardized it. Are you saying you didn't build your business? Sort of, but not really. Okay, they gave you enough ammunition. You don't have to lie about it. You don't have to try and twist it. You just point out what it is. Well, because the left said, no, he's talking about roads and bridges. And the right saying, he's talking about your very business. And like, no, he wasn't, whatever. Even if he was talking about roads and bridges. And somehow you owe society a chunk of your earnings and a chunk of your business and an even bigger and never-ending exploding size chunk of your business and your earnings. Everybody has access to those roads and bridges. It's not like you were one of the chosen few. You got a piece of mail, you open it up, oh, and there's, this will be an old reference, but there's Ed McMahon telling me that I may have already won the use of roads and bridges. Huh, what do you know? No, that's not how it worked. The roads and bridges are there. They were paid for by everybody's taxes, sure. But what you do with them is up to you. There are plenty of people who used those roads and bridges, who availed themselves of the use of those roads and bridges to build businesses, small businesses, businesses that failed, businesses that succeeded and turned them into billionaires. Everywhere in between, there are some people who availed themselves of the use of those roads and bridges to simply go back and forth to work, to go about their business. Not everybody wants to be a millionaire or a billionaire. Not everybody, quite frankly, is capable of handling that. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with that, and they're probably better off. There's a lot of people who would gamble it away. I was listening to the Adam Carolla podcast from the day after Norm Macdonald died last week, because I was curious to know. I knew that they were friendly, and I wanted to hear if there were any good stories or anything, and there was. It was pretty good. But Rob Schneider from Saturday Night Live called it. You know him, Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo. He's in every Adam Sandler movie. All these guys are in all Adam Sandler movies. And Rob Schneider was talking about his friend Norm Macdonald, and he talked about how one of the stories he said was how, because Norm was a degenerate gambler. Not being rude, it's just being honest. He went broke 2 times because of his gambling. He just lost everything he had. Bet it on college football, professional, whatever you got. Whatever you got, he would gamble on. And Rob Schneider conveyed a story of them hanging out one day. I forget what they were waiting for, but they had some time to kill. And so they were playing some backgammon. And Schneider pointed out that if you're a degenerate gambler, if you're an addict, you can't do something for fun. If you can bet on it, you're not going to do it for fun. You're incapable of that. And so they were playing backgammon for money. Rob Schneider apparently was trained how to play backgammon by somebody who's pretty, I don't know. I vaguely remember how to play backgammon, and I found the game kind of boring. But he said, you know, this is how you play it, and he explained it really quickly. It's been so long since I played it, I don't remember how, it didn't make any sense to me, but I believe him. He said, so I'm pretty good at backgammon. And said, so the next thing you know, because you can't just bet a dollar, against somebody who's got money and is a gambling addict. Said within an hour, Norm Macdonald was down $25,000 to him and shaking. So unhappy that he'd lost $25,000, so out of control and so unable to stop. It's one of those, if I just keep going, it's the mentality that this is why I don't gamble. This is why I'm not interested in gambling. It's like, okay, I know if I lose, I can win it back if I just keep gambling. And if I'm winning, I know I can win more if I just keep gambling. And I recognize that that's probably not a healthy attitude for somebody to have who's not rich and swimming in money and going, you know what, I can just set this on fire. I can go pass the time at a casino. So I just choose not to do it. Occasionally I'll go to a casino now. I don't enjoy it, but if a group of friends want to go to a casino, I'll go and I'll limit myself and I can do that. is mostly because my biggest hang up with gambling is I find it boring after a while. But no matter what it is, like the same reason I can golf 9 holes, but 18, I can get to like 12, maybe 15 holes, and then I'm bored. Done. just maybe it's because I'm ADD, who knows? But undiagnosed and not and proudly so. But you got these people who will take chances and will not take chances in society. And you've got a political party saying, we're going to absolve you of all of your responsibility. Don't worry about it. No, by the way, you succeeded. You didn't build that. We're going to tax the hell out of you. Well, they weren't there to share in the losses if you failed. They weren't there to help you out along the way. They built roads and bridges 30 years ago. And they've been dining out on that ever since and using that to take a piece of the action on everybody. That's the mentality of the left. It's problematic, to say the least. It does not bode well for people who want to succeed, that they'll sit there and go, oh, congratulations, you did it. Now we're going to break your legs unless you give us a big chunk of that money that you've just made, that you worked for, that you risked everything on. Congratulations. Let's go. It's a totally different mindset on the left and the right. And sadly, far too many people in this country, in our culture, have gone soft. The threat of bad things to happen, the threat that bad things could happen. Well, here's a fact. Bad things could happen. Right now, there's space junk. Do yourself a favor. It's really interesting picture or whatever. There is an image of the Earth and the space junk around it. Very fascinating. I don't even know if it's real or if it's a animation or whatever, but it's based on truth, apparently, because when you're up there, they just leave things, the space station, spaceship, they just leave things floating around up there. There's satellites. There's just all kinds of garbage circling the Earth, caught in the gravitational pull, but not enough to be pulled in and burned up in the atmosphere, not enough to fly off into space, not going fast enough. So it's in perma-orbit. And when you're sending up a spaceship, you have to kind of navigate your way through the layer of space junk. It's part of getting your crew or your payload or whatever there safely. Take a look at it, because you can find a picture of it. Life is navigating your way through space junk. The Democrats are saying, we'll plow the field for you. You won't succeed, but you won't fail. That'd work for some people. There are a lot of people out there who just want to get up, go to work, come home, have enough. And this is where the Democrats actually fail, because they're catering to these people without recognizing that these people exist. Trying to pander to these people. That's where their anti-rich rhetoric comes in, trying to convince people that somebody else is, you know, they're poor because somebody else is rich. They've taken from you somehow. Most people don't want to be rich. Most people just want to be left the hell alone. Most people just want to go, you know what? I don't have to worry about paying my bills this month. I got it covered. In fact, I got this covered for a while. I'm comfortable. I can take a nice vacation. I can do this. I can do that. I can do the other thing. Now, I know that mentality of the, I've got to keep working. I got to keep doing this. I got to keep doing that. I got to keep doing the other thing. I can't take a day off. Can't rest. Because what if something goes away? What if I lose my job? What do we do then? You got to make hay while the sun is shining. A lot of people don't suffer from that, and God bless them. It's also coupled with the I want to do better, and so you bust your hump that way. But this country is made up of all types, and sadly, a huge percentage of this country has gone soft. And so you dangle a threat of a virus out there, and they go, please protect us from the virus. Not, what do we have to do to avoid this virus? What's the best way to do this? It's the vaccine. I'll get the vaccine. If it's washing my hands constantly, I'll wash my hands constantly. Whatever it is, tell me what to do. And when people change their minds, change what they're saying, change what they're selling, they just go, all right, well, okay. Don't question President Fauci. Can't question President Fauci. Step aside. These people know more than us. These are people who are desperate to be led. And it all goes back to that famous Benjamin Franklin saying. People who will trade their liberty for security deserve neither liberty nor security. Sadly, thanks to the public education system, thanks to the Democratic Party, thanks to our media, we'll talk about the Emmys in a little bit, but thanks to all of them working together and the public education system polluting minds and telling people that the government is where you look for good things, for help, for whatever, not family. That percentage of people is growing. And that's one of the things, that's why I find, and I know it, I'm a heartless jerk, but I know these people when you talk about the free lunch program and the free breakfast program, and they go, oh, we've got to help the poor. We've got to help the kid. Okay, help, help. Nobody has a problem with helping. But that quickly morphs into, and by the way, not just help, we have to give them breakfast too. Okay, breakfast too. What are we giving them food stamps for? I'm not sure, but okay, breakfast and lunch. Great. Then it's, well, now we have to give free breakfast and lunch to every kid. You go, why? Most kids have parents who aren't degenerates, who will make them a sandwich, who will make them a bowl of cereal or an egg or something in the morning. They don't need this. And well, you see, there's a stigma attached to the free lunch and free breakfast program. The people know they're poor. If you watch a kid get the free breakfast and the free lunch, you know that his family's poor. There's going to be a stigma attached to that. So if we give it to everybody, then that stigma goes away. It's the same stupid mentality that went from let's give somebody food stamps to let's give somebody an independence card so that they can use it like a credit card. And it won't be as obvious. Because I remember as a young kid going to the grocery store with my mom, and somebody would be paying with food stamps. And they'd have the little booklets, and they'd be ripping them out and going, I think you'd get change back if you had like $25 in food stamps, but you had like $22 in it was a very analog world when I was a kid, but I had $22 worth of groceries, they'd give you $3 back. And I remember that people were not super proud, and they weren't hanging out their food stamp booklet going, look at me, I'm on food stamps. They were doing it on the sly, because there was a stigma attached to it. And that stigma was a powerful motivator. You know why? Because you didn't want to be on food stamps. We had something called pride in this country. Individuals had pride, and it was based on what they did. It was based on what they did. It wasn't based on who they are, that they exist, as now the ridiculous way liberals raise their kids is to make sure that they've got an abundance of self-esteem and no accomplishments. Competition is bad, and self-esteem is good. You're special. Why am I special? You just are. All right, well, then I guess I'm special. Try telling that kid anything. Try correcting that kid. See how that works out. The stigma is important, and removing that stigma led to a lot of problems. Same goes for the food stamps to the independence card. Oh, we got to get rid of the stigma. No, kids need that stigma. That stigma should be a motivating force. You don't want to be a ward of the state. You want to be better than your degenerate parents. No offense. But if you're on it for a very long period of time, it's not because of the system or society. It's because of your parents. You need to learn that and go, I don't want to live this way. What's the way out? And they now obscure the way out. They say the government is the way out, when in reality, government is the way in. And there's no way out from there. We've gone soft in society. By design, thanks to Democrats. Speaking of going soft and getting things, did you see the Emmys on Sunday night? Yeah, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, they gave out their... I watched it mostly out of morbid curiosity. I wasn't intending to watch it. I forget even why I put it on. But I put it on and I watched it, most of it. I was doing other things at the time, but I paid attention and I had a rooting interest. I wanted Ted Lasso to win. Ted Lasso is my favorite show right now. And I was absolutely loving Ted Lasso. And they won. They won a whole bunch of things, although they didn't win for writing because I don't know what the deal was there. But I've heard of the show, Hacks. But for some reason, they won that writing award or whatever. But in the course of watching the Emmys, I just noticed that they were winning the acting awards for Ted Lasso. They won the three categories they were nominated in. And it's great. So I was also doing show prep and everything, and I had my computer out there, and then I see this story from Variety. And I thought, what kind of a miserable human being? The Emmys were still going on, I think, while this was written, that posted at 8:34 p.m. on Sunday, Pacific time, but still, that's just after, I suppose, the Emmys ended. The headline is, hashtag Emmys so white, colon, no actors of color win despite record nominee lineup. And you're sitting there, and I didn't notice this, because A, I wasn't paying very close attention to it. Like I said, I was doing other things, and I didn't see any of the dramas nominated in any of the categories, so I didn't care about that. But I also don't sit there and go, well, what's the skin color of these nominees? What's the skin color of these winners? That's what I care about, because I'm not a miserable leftist, progressive, racist piece of garbage like the people who apparently work at Variety. Some guy named Clayton Davis. He said, while it was a bad night for acting winners, women dominated the creative categories, marking the first time two females have won comedy and drama director. Again, do you sit, if you're a liberal, do you sit down and you grab a piece of paper and you're like, all right, let me see, I got my scorecard here. I need my pen, and I'm going to really check off all these boxes. I got a little flow chart like it's an Excel spreadsheet, and I'm going to go through and check out the nominees, which ones are trans, which ones are not trans, which ones are this, and who wins, and who's that, and who's the other thing. Apparently, that's how you watch it. Remember, a couple of years ago, that was all the rage. That was all anybody cared about. What color is the nominee? What's the ethnicity of the nominee? What do they look like? What is their parentage? I swear to God, the left is obsessed with this stuff. It's deranged. The story reads, the Primetime Emmy Awards were unable to capitalize on its historic and diverse nomination fields, with all major acting trophies going to white actors. Ooh, yuck. Now, they were unable to capitalize? Nowhere in this piece does it allow for the prospect that they best won. Nowhere in it. It's not even in the realm of possibility. Nowhere could it be, you know what? Jason Sudeikis won for Best Actor in a Comedy. And you know what? He was the Best Actor in a Comedy. No, it's there was a black guy who probably should have gotten it because he's black. I don't know. I'm not a black guy, but I wouldn't want to win something just because I'm a white guy. I can't imagine anybody going, I really just want to win based on the color of my skin. I think most people would look at that as wildly condescending. Wildly, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, racist. That's right. They continue. Actors were seen as solid contenders, including Billy Porter and MJ Rodriguez for Pose. Yeah, because they're both gay and one's trans. So I'm like, oh, they must get nominated. Can they act? I don't know. Pose doesn't get any kind of ratings to matter. People don't watch it. The question is, was Pose nominated because of its subject matter or because of how good it was? I have no idea. I can't make that judgment because I don't watch it. I've never watched it. But I can sure as hell guess. And I think everybody here can. Can we come to the same conclusion? Or the late Michael K. Williamson, of course, Lovecraft Country, and Kenan Thompson and Bowen Yang for Saturday Night Live. But in the end, all ended up empty-handed. Oh, no. Well, so did, you know, a bunch of other people. I did notice, like, seemed like 60% of the nominees were black. Once I started seeing tweets complaining about this, I did notice in the last couple of categories. And, like, okay, that's weird. Because the show's like the Black Lady sketch comedy show. I see it on HBO. I've never watched it. I'm not a black lady. I don't think I'm allowed to watch it. And I have no interest in watching it because I don't really like shows that are, like, obsessed with race in any way, shape, or form. So they were nominated for a whole bunch of things. They didn't win anything. I guess it's no longer an honor just to be nominated. But it's some sort of affront that they didn't win. You ever heard of the show? You ever seen the show? I bet you haven't. But this is how the left works. Say, Michaela Cohen, nominated for 4 Emmys, picked up the writing limited category for I May Destroy You, the third time a black creative. That's what they... this article called, whoever is this person? Is it Clayton Davis? That's how Clayton Davis describes a fellow human being. The third time a black creative, you're a black creative, has won the Emmy category, and first for a black woman. Past black winners have included, and he goes through, and who cares? A record number of 49 non-Anglo creatives. Non-Anglo creatives. Where is the sweet meteor of death when you need it? Where is it, I ask? A record number of 49 non-Anglo creatives were recognized in the acting and reality competition categories. While many didn't expect anyone to unseat Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso, Jean Smart for Hacks, and Gillian Anderson for The Crown, pundits were expecting a couple of actors to break through, such as the actors from Hamilton or from Bridgerton. Oh, there's pundits out in Hollywood? I can't think of a more useless job. What a waste of a way to go through life. As my former colleague Garen Peterson texted me during the telecast, quote, two awards shows in a row where recently departed black men lost to white Brits who weren't present, end quote. Referring to Michael K. Williamson of Lovecraft Country, who lost supporting actor drama to Tobias Menzies for The Crown, and Chadwick Boseman's loss for the Academy Award, having been nominated for his performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So all you have to do is die and you're guaranteed an Oscar? That ain't how it works. Besides, most of the voting took place already, and isn't this supposed to be about merit anyway? Who deserves it? Who was the best? But no, you can't ask that question anymore. That question is somehow probably racist. It's insane. And that a person would write this story, that somebody's paid to write this, by Variety, no less. You watch this. I watched part of it, and they kept cutting to, I don't even know who the dude was. There's some big black dude in a dress who looked like a linebacker in a dress there last night. And they kept cutting to reaction shots to this guy going, well, you know, somebody's laughing, somebody's clapping, somebody's whatever. And there's this big black dude in a dress. And I kept thinking, hey, first of all, I don't care, but let's be honest. Is this America or is this what the left thinks of America? Because I don't even think they can really believe that this is America. This is what they're trying to make the United States into. They hate the military. They hate anything that's traditional. They hate anything that's normal. You're not allowed to use the word normal anymore, but it's in a dictionary. It has a definition. So does abnormal. But if you use the word abnormal to talk about the way some leftist, oh, he's 6'7" and a former linebacker, now an MMA fighter in the women's category. Like, wait, the college football, how does that work? Well, because he declared himself to be a woman. So now he's a trans woman. And yeah, there was some trans woman beating the hell out of some other woman in MMA. And we're all supposed to go, well, that's wonderful. That's so progressive. It's insane. One thing I did find funny here, it's not just race, though, by the way. They continue, Porter and Rodriguez were heavily favored to win lead actor and actress in a drama for Pose, but lost to Josh O'Connor and Olivia Colman for The Crown. Why were they favored? Well, because they're gay and trans. That's why. Respectively, in a loss for people of color nominees and the LGBTQ community. Now it's not just, hey, here's competition. Here's the nominees and here's the winner. It is, here's the nominees, and these ones are representing this particular community, okay? Don't tell anybody, but if you don't vote for them, you're an istrophobe. Take your pick. Really? The loss? Because Billy Porter and MJ Rodriguez didn't win Emmys last night? The entire people of color community and LGBTQ community is depressed today? Well, to that I say tough. Get over yourselves. You didn't have anything to do with it. Colman's co-star, Emma Corrin, would have become the first openly non-binary actor ever to win an acting category, but TV Academy voters had other plans. God, those horrible, horrible TV Academy. Now, these are all leftists in Hollywood, and there's the leftist rag in leftist Hollywood saying, Leftists in Hollywood are racist, sexist, homophobes. There's no way they can't say, well, Donald Trump is at fault for this. Donald Trump is the reason that this person who is a man who says they're a woman didn't win an Emmy. Nope, this is all liberals. This was all liberals. They could have all given it to everybody they wanted. They chose straight whitey. God, what monsters. What monsters. And because these leftists are so obsessed with race here at the Emmys, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to point out how far they're willing to go and how bizarre it's willing to get. If you ever watch the Queen's Gambit, like about the chick playing chess in the 60s, 50s, I think it's 50s through the 70s, maybe. It's a fine miniseries. You watch it. It's on Netflix. I don't know. It's like 6 or 8 parts. I found it entertaining. I'm not sure what the point was, but then most of the stuff doesn't have a point anyway, but it's entertaining. This writer at Variety adds this little ditty. He says, the Golden Globes managed to celebrate just John Boyega's performance in Small Axe, which was ultimately snubbed by the Emmys, and the SAG Award and Hollywood Foreign Press Association found the merits for Latina actress Anya Taylor-Joy for The Queen's Gambit, but she lost her Emmy category to Kate Winslet for Mayor of Easttown. You're like, wait a second, because I watched The Queen's Gambit. The lead actress in there is really, I mean, in a snowstorm, her camouflage would be nudity. Honestly, good looking. I'd like to see her try to camouflage herself in a snowstorm. But she's white as the day is long. So I said, okay, I suppose she could be Latino. She called him Latina. So I looked it up. Anya Taylor-Joy was born in Miami, Florida. Born an American. Lived in Argentina till she was 6. That's her only connection. Her father's a Brit. Her mother's a Brit. Children of diplomats. Seems like she comes from money, people living all over the world. But to say that she is some sort of Latina is ridiculous. But when you're trying to create the narrative that somebody, and you know, if you do, actually, they go through in her Wikipedia page, they go down to like grandma, great grandma, whatever. And one of them somewhere along, there's British, and then there's an Argentine British mother. On her father's side. She had an Argentine-British mother. So her father is one-quarter Argentine, which makes her one-eighth Argentine. And because the left, and if you remember your history about the one-drop rule in the South in determining whether you were white or black, Democrats imposed that baby, that horribly racist thing. You must know somebody's race. If you have one drop of black blood, you're black. The Nazis actually adopted that policy in their Nuremberg race laws. They really did. Look it up. The Nuremberg race laws. Well, you know, determining what's pure enough German. Basically one drop law. Except weird, because Hitler didn't come anywhere close to getting that, to meeting that standard. But that was what they did. That was what they proposed. And that's where they learned it from, the Democrats in the South, in their obsession with race. That it was all about one drop. So, yes, Hollywood let Hollywood down yesterday. Racist Hollywood. What they never do is come out and say, Hollywood is horribly, wildly racist. Because I don't know why they wouldn't. Every time they do, what happens? There's no consequences for running around going, even in the media, going, Hollywood is wildly racist. Hollywood just goes, you're right. We've got to do better. We must do better. And hell, you might get a job out of it. And like, oh, all right, well, help. Let me hire you to help us be less racist. You can make a lot of money off of these moronic leftists. So if you're out there looking for work, if you're out there trying to find a way to start a business or whatever, diversity consultants, you probably have to come up with a better name than that. But Hollywood, after the last time the left complained about them, immediately said, you're right. And now in order to be nominated for an Academy Award, you've got to have quotas of people working on your movie and your cast and your grip category all the way down. If it doesn't meet these, it doesn't matter if the movie's any good or not. If it doesn't meet these specific categories, you cannot be nominated. The television can't be that far behind. Quickly form some sort of group, put justice in the title, For Justice, Actors for Justice, Producers, something like that. Dolly Grips for Justice, Best Boy Grips. Yeah, that probably still a little too close to the Me Too thing. I don't know what the Best Boy Grip does, but I don't want to know either. But just throw whatever in there for justice, and you too will probably get a job, maybe even get an Emmy nomination. They might give you an honorary Emmy, who the hell knows, and go on from there. It's so pathetic, these people. It is so pathetic, these people. I swear to God. And then you watch this ceremony last night. And what do you see? All these hysterical leftists who shut down their productions, created bubbles, didn't, you know, were yelling at people on set for not staying 6 feet away from somebody. And their award show comes around and they're in a dance. Well, I can't say that there wasn't a person on screen wearing a mask. The people on screen were wearing masks sometimes because they were the servants, the peons, walking around, serving the people, bringing the drinks and whatever, as they all sat at their fancy tables. Those people, the normal people, were wearing masks. The Hollywood types, they weren't wearing masks at all. They're hugging each other. They're kissing each other. Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to be here. Now, make sure you go home, peon. Put your mask on. Don't send your kid to school without laminating their head. But just don't do what we do. The hypocrisy was stunning. Not surprising, but stunning. And everywhere. And they were so shameless about it. It was like the Met Gala all over again. Now, I want to talk just briefly about the hypocrisy of the left. Because I have audio that I just grabbed of Ginger Goebbels. The you know, not only the Emmys last night where they're running around hugging each other, going, oh, wonderful to see you, kissing and schmoozing and not 6 feet and away from each other. Well, you have to. You absolutely must. But the Biden administration just announced they're going to start allowing back in November, now in November, not till November for some weird reason. I guess this is the way it kind of works. This is the way Australia's kind of been governing, is in 2 weeks, and then in 2 weeks comes along, in 3 weeks, we're going to need another week. We're going to need, it all goes back to 15 days to slow the spread or to flatten the curve or whatever. They always dangle that carrot out just far enough in front of the horse that the horse can't get it. Every once in a while, it hits its lips, but it never gets a full bite. If it gets a full bite, the horse would eat the whole carrot, and then there'd be no carrot. You just have a stick. Although Democrats do love to use the stick too. But they say in Australia, they said, well, and if you behave yourselves and if you get vaccinated, double vaxxed, then in about a month, you might be able to go within 5 kilometers of your house. You might be able to leave your house. Oh, okay. Some, they're big protests down in Australia, by the way, people not liking the prison, former prison island, reverting back to being a prison island. But that's how the leftist mindset works everywhere. We'll just dangle it out there. And so after a year of people going, we'd really like to be able to travel, and there are a lot of families that are separated who, you know, the husband's British and the wife is not, the wife is American. And they never got around to getting that dual citizenship thing or anything. Well, you can't travel to the United States. You're not good enough. You're not. We don't want you here. Sorry, you can't be reunited. Now, they'll move heaven and earth, the Biden administration, to reunite a degenerate parent with a kid they sent on a 2,000-mile march with human smugglers. No, we must find it. It's only right that we reunite these families. It would be wrong to keep these families apart. But, you know, two consenting adults who willingly married one another, eh, shut up. Quit whining. What do you want from me? They couldn't care less. Well, now the Biden administration is saying, hey, you can start to travel to and from Europe. Europeans will be able to come here starting in November, provided they're fully vaccinated. And you're sitting there going, okay, provided they're fully vaccinated. They have to be fully vaccinated. Why November? They're fully vaccinated now. Even if you need to set up some kind of system to verify whether or not they're fully vaccinated, you couldn't do that in October? You haven't been working on this for a long time. You're desperately having fever dreams about imposing some kind of vaccine passport. You can't tell me that you couldn't work this out internationally at least, right? But sometime in November, probably. That's what they're saying now. And a lot of people will be placated by that. Oh, great. Our rights will semi be restored a little bit in about 6 weeks or so, provided that things go well. Of course, it's starting to get cold in November. The people go indoors. It's the start of flu season. There's false positives. There's the fact that COVID would spread more easily. And there's all sorts of time to not have this order actually come to fruition. But they've got it out there. So the people who are demanding that they be allowed to travel or see loved ones, all right, fine. You can do that in November. They'll be placated. It's kind of how it works. Just enough. Just enough. Sometimes they pay lip service to the people. Other times they don't. The Emmys last night did not pay lip service to the people. If you saw any bit of it, you saw smiling faces. I mean, those people spent a lot of money on those faces. A lot of money on the dental work that goes into those faces. They don't want to cover it up with a cloth. And you sit there and you go, well, wait a second, though. If you went to a restaurant this weekend, you probably had to wear a mask till your food came over, unless you were sitting outside, and then depending on the restaurant. Up in New York, there was a maitre d' attacked by some women from Texas because you need proof of vaccination. New York, it's the law. Well, it's the law. It's not really the law. They didn't pass a law. It's the decree from the mayor that to eat inside a restaurant, you have to be fully vaccinated. Present your vaccine cards. Well, there's mixed stories about the fight at Carmine's in New York about whether or not the people had the vaccine cards or the vaccine cards were real and somebody said the vaccine cards looked counterfeit or whatever. The city has no set way to figure this crap out for New Yorkers. They have an app, but people traveling to New York probably don't have it. It's just asking for trouble, and this weekend they got trouble. The hostess at the front door got beat up, got into a fight, was attacked by three women of color from Houston, Texas, because she didn't believe their vaccine cards or wouldn't let in them with their vaccine cards or whatever it was. It's all caught on video because people are so damn stupid that when anything goes on, rather than trying to fuse the situation, rather than be an adult in there, they all think, oh, I'm going to win 10 grand on America's Funniest Home Videos, or how much will I be able to monetize this for on YouTube, or will CBS pay me 20 grand to be able to use this footage, or CNN, or any of them? So I just whip out my phone and just film the whole damn thing. There they are, they're throwing people around. They're the podium where the hostess stands getting knocked over. Everybody's getting violent. Whole bunch of stupid. All because, you know, and by the way, if you remember the name Eric Garner, right? Eric Garner was the guy who was, as they say, murdered by police officers. Horribly murdered by police officers because what? Because he was selling individual cigarettes. He was selling, they call them Lucy cigarettes. He'd buy a pack for, I don't know, 10 bucks a piece or whatever the hell they cost in New York. And he'd sell them for like 75 cents a piece. And you could, you know, it's not retirement money, but it's good money. You're making a definite profit and you make up a lot of money in volume. So there's an incentive. People can't afford 10 bucks for a whole pack, but, you know, if you give me 5 cigarettes to get through a day, I pay 6 bucks for it. Boom. Whatever. You're making money. Well, the city didn't like that. The city, the mayor of the city, the same dillweed mayor they have now, I think it was, ordered the police to crack down on people selling loose cigarettes because the government wasn't getting their beak wet. They weren't getting their taste. It's not cool. Mafia and government don't like competition. And Eric Garner got into a fight with police officers rather than just comply because the police were ordered to enforce this law vigorously. They got into a fight and Eric Garner got killed. It was the chokehold fight. It was on video because somebody, of course, was filming it. But it's insane. These people with their stupid laws and their stupid rules that cause problems. Where there's no problem at restaurants where Bill de Blasio eats. He imposes the mask mandate. He imposes the vaccine mandate. And then he lives in his little bubble and gets treated like king. He lives in the mayor's mansion. I'm sure they have a cooking staff. I'm sure there are people there taking care of things. No worries there for his life's not going to be impacted by it. Besides, who's going to go up and give the mayor any grief about it? Everybody knows who he is. Like, there's that doofus. They know who he is. Normal citizens get screwed. Normal citizens get screwed. And the Democrats just kind of wander through it like Mr. Magoo. I want you to hear Ginger Goebbels. Today, she was at the press briefing. She was asked because of this new ruling, you can come from Europe, but you have to be vaccinated. You can't come until November. You have to be fully vaccinated, negative COVID test, blah, 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 blah. We want your firstborn child put in escrow. Everything, everything, everything. Peter Doocy from Fox News asks her, so you're going to require this in 6 weeks for people coming from Europe, one of the most, you know, vaccinated, heavily vaccinated parts of the world. But the entire third world, which is one of the least vaccinated parts of the world, is marching across the southern border. And there's 12,000 people under a bridge in Texas right now, setting up a shanty town. And you have no requirements for them whatsoever. What's the rationale for that? And as best as she can polish this turd, Ginger Goebbels desperately tries to polish this turd.
Question about what's going on at the border. Is somebody asking the foreign nationals who are walking into Del Rio, Texas, and setting up camps on this side of the border for proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test?
Well, first of all, I can readdress for you or re-talk you through what steps we take.
That is the policy for people who fly into the country. So if somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, and they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. These are individuals, as we've noted and as we've been discussed, we are expelling individuals based on Title 42. Specifically because of COVID, because we want to prevent a scenario where large numbers of people are gathering, posing a threat to the community and also to the migrants themselves. So those are the policies that we put in place, in large part because, again, the CDC continues to recommend Title 42 be in place, given we're facing a global pandemic.
Now, she has no good answer. She has a lot of spin. She has a lot of this, a lot of that. She has no good answer because there is no rational excuse for it. Going to fly over here. You got to show it. You got to prove it. You got to swab it. You got to isolate. You got to do this. You got to do that. You want to come across the southern border and you can watch it. There's a guy who works at Fox News. He's down there on the border watching, posting video after video of people just marching across the Rio Grande. It's about knee deep there. And they're just marching across. There's nobody stopping them. There's nothing happening to them. The Biden administration is actively, slowly shipping people out back to Haiti. Like 300 and some were flown back yesterday. But that's 300 and some out of 12,000. And there are several thousand a day marching across the border. That's the problem. If you ship out 300 of them back home and you import 1,000 of them marching across the border, how much headway are you making against that problem? You're not making any headway against that problem. It's like having a small bucket and bailing out the Titanic. Okay, great. You're not making a difference. That's how they're operating down there. Nobody's asking about COVID. You got to stop them from marching across the border in the first place. That would be the way to do it. COVID or not, they have no business coming to this country. COVID or not, coming from Haiti, they're not in fear of their lives. Their economic situation is bad. Yeah, I'll grant you that. But that is in no way, shape, or form justification for seeking of asylum. economics is not a justification for seeking of asylum. That's what the law says. I realize Democrats don't like the law, but that's what the law says. They should all immediately be deported, but more so, they should be prevented from coming over in the first place. They should be taken back immediately, if not sooner. It's frustrating watching this administration. They treat these people as though they have a right to come here. Like, well, you know, we have to hear each case individually. No, we don't. Shut it down. Shut it down completely. People start marching across. You grab them by the scruff of their neck and you throw them back across the other side. Prevent them physically from getting across the border. Sooner or later, they'll get the message. Sooner or later. Might take a while. You might have to throw them back a bunch of times. So be it. But if they get here, you throw them back. Period. It worked under the Trump administration because people recognize that you pay $8,000 to some human smuggling piece of trash. They march your kid 2,000 miles up Mexico. And then next thing you know, the kid's back in back in your hometown in Guatemala. Like, well, there's $8,000 I'm never going to see again. It was a waste of money, a waste of time, waste of effort. I'm not going to make that effort again. Joe Biden comes in and they say, well, it's game on. Let's go to town. Let's have fun. They're not throwing anybody back. Guess what that means? That means that everybody who wanted to try during the Trump administration, in addition to all the people who want to try now, are going to do what? They're going to try. Because the consequence for trying is success now when you're not enforcing the law. It's not by accident again. It's by design. So we go from hypocrisy at the border and hypocrisy in Hollywood to hypocrisy a little bit further north in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yes, San Francisco Bay. They have a mayor named London Breed. I looked it up. That's a real name. It's a real name. It's not some sort of mean nickname that stuck in high school. No, it's a real name. And London Breed loves progressive politics. She released or she signed an order mandating masks inside for all San Franciscans, regardless of vaccine status, because vaccine status, there was only about 2 weeks where the Democrats started saying you can, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And then they realized, wow, there's a whole bunch of power we're ceding, and there's no way to know whether or not somebody's really vaccinated. Let's just reimpose everything on everybody. Reimpose everything on everybody. And remember, they were told, well, the numbers were going up. Numbers were going up. If we reimpose these mask mandates, these numbers will go down. And the numbers continued to go up throughout the whole last, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And eventually they started to go down a little bit because they seemed to ebb and flow. It was weird. It had no real correlation with mask mandates, but they pretended it did because they pretend a lot of things. They pretend they're smart. They pretend they're honest. Etc., etc. This is just one more thing to add to the list. Well, London Breed, after signing her order mandating that people wear masks inside unless eating or drinking, whilst eating and drinking, you can put your mask down. But then when you're done, you got to put your mask back on or else you're violating. You could be fined. You could get in trouble with the administration of Mayor London Breed. After signing that into existence, London Breed then found out that the R&B group, I guess they're sort of a jazz R&B group, called Tony, Tony, Tony. And each Tony is spelled differently. It is. Seriously, look it up. I remember them from a long time. Tony, Tony, Tony. They'd gotten back together and they were performing at a place called the Black Cat in San Francisco. And so London Breed, being a fan, thought she had to go. Gots to go. She went, she gathered her friends, she went, and there was a reporter there taking video of the mayor of San Francisco enjoying this perfectly legal concert inside this club called the Black Cat, except that Mayor London Breed was not wearing a mask. Not wearing a mask at all. Not eating, not drinking, not wearing a mask. In a very small, cramped, crowded space, she was dancing. Now, it's bad enough to be in a small, crowded space without a mask, according to Mayor Breed, but if you're dancing around, moving around, what is that doing? It's a little bit of cardio. It's not exactly a full-blown workout, but it's a little bit of cardio. That means you're breathing heavier. You're breathing a little bit harder. You're breathing a little bit more than you otherwise would be, and when you're sharing a small space with people, you're sharing their exhale, too. That means that you're breathing in their COVID, should they have it. Now, I want you to listen, because after this video surfaced, and it's a long video of her having a gay old time dancing and singing and just loving this concert in this very small room, she was confronted about this, going, hey, wait a second, you ordered what you were doing to be not allowed. You ordered it not to be allowed. Why are you able to do it? I want you to listen to her explanation because it, I don't know if London Breed does yoga, but she gets real flexible, real bendy in her answer here. This is just one of many.
I had a good time at the Black Cat, and I think it's sad that this is even a story. The fact is, there was something that was really monumental that occurred. And that is Tony, the original members, the brothers, Raphael Sadiq and Dwayne Wiggins, who have not performed in public for, I believe, at least over 20 years. They are just really some of the most incredible artists in the history of this country and the Bay Area in particular. And the fact that that is getting lost here is very unfortunate. Not to mention the incredible trumpeter, Maurice Mobetta Brown, who is just phenomenal. These incredible musicians who performed and who really uplifted the spirits of not just myself, but all of the people who were there.
Oh, I didn't realize, Your Honor, that your spirits were uplifted. My apologies. Whoa, what was I... I was just, you know, looking at the order you signed and seeing how you violated it. But I didn't realize it. I guess I'll have to go back and look at your order and see if there is a your spirits are being lifted exemption to your man. No, there isn't. Wait, no, I just looked. There's no exemption for that. You notice how she immediately lost in the shuffle here is that Tony got back together. Yeah. Find, you got 10 minutes, find 20 people, find five people who know Tony, and care. Can name one member of Tony. Go ahead, see if you can find, I'll give you an hour. No Googling, and they can't Google. Go ahead, see if you can't, you won't be able to. So London Breed then goes on to say, but I was drinking because my drink was on the table, even though I wasn't drinking it. And by the way, and at the end of this, it gets funny. By the way, I'm fully vaccinated, which, again, there's no carve-out for in her executive order. None.
And from my perspective, you know, I was there, I was eating, and I was drinking, and I was sitting with my friends, and everyone who came in there was vaccinated. So the fact that we have turned this into a story about being maskless, no, I'm not going to sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, sip and put my mask on, eat and put my mask on. While I'm eating and I'm drinking, I'm going to keep my mask off. And yes, in the end time, while we're drinking, like everyone else there, we were all having a good time. And again, all vaccinated. So the fact that this is even a story is sad.
Oh, it's just so sad. Stop harassing. Don't you understand? I'm the mayor, damn it. Shut your mouth. We're all vaccinated. Now, you, when you go out to a restaurant with your family, whether you're vaccinated or not, but it's, no, actually, it doesn't matter. You shut up and you wrap your head in an ace bandage. But me, when Tony, look, if Paul McCartney plays with Ringo on drums, you can go and not wear a mask, and you don't have to be drinking or eating. You can just have a cup of water sitting at your feet somewhere and claim that it's there, and it's all good. But unless and until, just shut your mouth, because Tony, you hadn't had a hit since, what, 1991, They're back together. They're huge in the Bay Area. Really? The Bay Area is stuck in 1991? All right. Interesting, I guess. But hey, that's the mayor. That's what they vote for. There was just a massive recall in California. Now, Gavin Newsom survived it, but it was in part based on the fact that he was mandating everybody wear masks and you can't gather with more than five people. And then he went off to the French Laundry restaurant and inside wasn't wearing a mask and had a whole bunch of people, lobbyist friends, sitting there going, "This is great. I like the way that you order those peons around to do things." And Gavin Newsom smiling ear to ear with his grinny, bleached white teeth going, "Yeah, no, it's one. I love this power. I love this power. I haven't felt this much power since I slept with my best friend's wife. That's how much power I feel. It's a feeling I could live with every single day of my life." And London Breed wasn't done, though. I just, when she asked about what you're sitting there dancing, the music got to me. That's all. The spirit moved me.
A video shows a maskless Breed neither seated at a table nor positioned at a stationary counter, standing and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing a mask.
Okay, so just to be clear, I was sitting at my table, and when, I don't know about you and whether or not you know who Rafael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins are, but I don't know about you, but if you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting. You're going to get up and start dancing.
Oh, Lordy, the music got to me. Can I get an amen? Oh, amen. Can I get a Rafael Saadiq? Oh, Rafael Saadiq. Can I get a Dwayne Wiggins or whatever the hell the other one was that I can't remember? Oh, you can have a Dwayne Wiggins if that's what you want. Yay. She's such a freaking hypocrite. Okay, nobody has a... Like, go ahead. Nobody cares. It's that you're not allowing other people to do what you're doing. It's the parent smoking a freaking Marlboro dangling out of their mouth while chugging a Pabst going, "Kids, drinking and smoking are wrong and evil, and if I ever see you doing that, I'm going to beat you about the head and neck. Now, here's $20. Go get mommy a sixer and a new pack of smokes. The store." Oh, but London Breed, she's feeling the music. Feeling the rhythm. It's Tony, Tony, Tony. Oh, baby. She wasn't done. One more goodie.
My drink was sitting at the table. I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit. And I wasn't thinking about a mask. I was thinking about having a good time. And in the process, I was following the health orders. Not to mention the Chronicle reporter who walked up to me had no mask in sight. When I took a picture, as I do in any case or do an interview, yes, I take my mask off when I want to take a picture. I'm vaccinated. I don't need to wear a mask and take a picture every single time. I don't want to.
I don't want to. I don't need to do this. And I love how she becomes like the ultimate narc. By the way, the reporter who came up to me, she wasn't wearing a mask. I didn't see her. She didn't have a mask anywhere near her. Why wasn't she's reporting on me not wearing a mask? She wasn't wearing a mask. Are you 12 years old? Is that what this is, Mayor Breed? Because that's what it sounds like to me. Look, the music got to me, man. I was just going to, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The music gets to you. You can't control yourself. Besides, the person asking me wasn't wearing a mask either. She's the type of person who goes, you go down, I told you not to talk in class, go down and talk to the principal. Like, I wasn't the only one talking. Becky was talking too, and so was John and Jill. They're all talking. Like, okay, well, there you go. You're just going to make sure that everybody gets into trouble. You think that you can just get it. There's only a certain amount of peanut butter, and if you spread it around to a whole bunch of people, you'll somehow get away with it or something. I don't really understand what you're trying to do here, Mayor, except not be very mayor-like. You got to love it, though. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm vaccinated. Hey, do you know anybody in a position of authority that might be able to write something like a regulation or some kind of rule, maybe through executive order, that would absolve people who are fully vaccinated from having to wear masks? You know anything? No? No, you don't know anybody, Mayor Breed? Okay, well, it was just a thought. Good luck. Go back to your concert. God. So, but again, you sit there and you go, the poor people of San Francisco, except you... You realize these people voted for it. This is what they chose. I don't know what London Breed was running against. but it, unless it was like a bucket full of fish heads and like toe jam, you probably made the wrong choice, San Francisco. Although for you, you probably made the right choice. Lastly today, the AOC story keeps on giving. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she goes to the big Met Gala, the big fundraiser. It's a charity ball. She always tries to use it as a charity ball. Because when you say it's a charity event, what do you think? You think, well, you're feeding the hungry. You're helping children. What kind of charity? You know, when you hear charity, that's kind of where your brain goes immediately. Instead, it's a $30,000 a head or $250,000 a table event to raise money for the costuming department at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And yeah, it's literally a fashion fundraiser. That's what it is. It's a fashion fundraiser. No human beings. There should be a disclaimer. You know, they always have at the end of a movie, no animals were harmed in the filming of this movie. It should say no human beings were helped in any way, shape, or form in the process of this charity. But New York Post reports, because beforehand, AOC was talking about how her and her dress designer, the one who wrote Tax the Rich across her butt, said, oh, they, two middle-class, working-class women of color, they're just so wonderful. And it's, we had to make a statement going to the gala, and then you find out that the designer's boyfriend is a part of the Lehman Brothers family and the Seagrams family, inherited $100 million, and you're like, it's not exactly working class, as far as I can tell. But then, now tell me, you could say, hey, you know, that was her boyfriend, not her. So, you know, it's different. It's not her money. Tell me if this sounds like somebody who's working class to you. New York Post. Designer Aurora James called her Tax the Rich dress for Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, quote, a powerful message, but it's not one she has taken to heart. The 37-year-old fashionista who made waves at the Met Gala with Democrat Socialist AOC last week is a notorious tax deadbeat with unpaid debts dogging her in multiple states, records show. How do these people think you can get away with this? Most of Lux Living James's arrears center on the Cultural Brokerage Agency, an LLC she formed in 2011 to serve as a parent company for her fashion brand, which today is known as Brother Velly's something, who cares? It's a favorite of people like Beyonce, Rihanna, and Meghan Markle, so you know she's not scraping by. There's no way she's working class. The company racked up three open tax warrants in New York State for failing to withhold income taxes from employees' paychecks totaling $14,798. Okay, that goes, she's got, the company has been hit with 15 warrants in total since 2015. The company got into a deeper hole with the feds between April 2018 and April 2019 when Internal Revenue Service placed six federal liens on Cultural Brokerage Agency totaling $103,220. Whoa, now you're talking some serious money to owe all of that. While James apparently has no problem stiffing the tax man, she isn't shy about taking money from taxpayers. Her company received $41,666 in pandemic relief, PPP loans. Again, this is AOC's middle-class, working-class designer friend who stenciled Tax the Rich across her butt. Now, hero of the working people, there isn't anybody involved in this entire process, this entire scam, who's ever really worked for a living, I would say, and needed to work for a living in a way other than just to pass the time. But this is what passes for some sort of hero, working-class hero on the left. It tells you something about them, doesn't it? It's amazing looking at this woman's thing, $17,000 here, $62,000 in workman's comp she owes. Just everything. She's got debt. She could afford to buy tickets to the Met Gala. And she has a boyfriend worth $100 million. She won't pay her taxes. Makes her perfect for hanging out. She's also a Hillary Clinton donor, $2,700. Makes her perfect for hanging out with the Democrat Socialist, isn't it? You gotta love it. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great one. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel.
If you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting. You're going to get up and start dancing.